We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
It's up to you guys to do the dynasty thing. I'm back to training camp and the, kind of the meat and potatoes of the thing, and so that's where I go. I just make sure the guys come back in shape and we're ready to roll. But that's kind of what the part that we'll control there, and make sure the guys build a nice foundation up of a training camp.
Is it important for them to realize it's a new year and what happened last year doesn't?
Yeah. Every year in the NFL is a new year. Yeah. Right? So every team's a different team, and the guys know how I go with that. Don't get caught up in too much of the fluff, you know. So we just roll. Put another Tommy Bahama shirt on and let's go.
Is it? Hey, Andy. Is it important for the team to realize that last year was last year and for them to move on to this year? Is that important?
You know, actually, no, it's not.
Who asked that?
What we're doing here is we're going to just pretend it's still last year, and we're not going to move on, even though there's different players, and we're going to have a draft class, and other players have moved on. Nah, we're just gonna live in the moment, pretty much. First week of training camp, we're just gonna celebrate the Super Bowl. Every day, we're gonna watch it, and we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna go ahead, we're gonna recreate some of our favorite plays. Then week two, we're gonna do just a whole bunch of grab ass, and then we might ease into training camp. So, good question though.
Solid question.
I don't know what you're laughing about in there.
I don't know.
What's so funny?
You.
Why?
You make me laugh.
Not really.
Yeah, a little bit. Got some new rules, Mark Bullrich.
Andy. Andy.
Yep. Trade Friday night news, late night news, though, from last week. Trade hasn't been completed yet.
Well, some people wish it wouldn't be completed, but.
We got a lot to talk about today.
A lot.
Okay, Legarius Sneed.
A lot more than I was thinking about earlier. Late last week, yeah.
Legarius Sneed traded to the Tennessee Titans for a swap of seventh-round picks this year and a third-round pick next year. What was your reaction when you saw the trade and what the return was?
I don't know. I think the return is fine. You know, it's more than, quote, the comp picks that everybody loves to talk about of letting a free agent walk when really there's a formula that goes into all of
nope.
that, right?
You're wrong.
Stuff. So, I don't hate it at all. I think when I look at it, like, I love Legarius Sneed. I think we all do in this room, and even Jake in the other room. But, you know, you have to make, and I've said this before, you have to make tough decisions on, you know, what you're willing to pay a guy based on age, injury history, your roster, your salary cap, all those types of things. And, you know, if the Chiefs didn't feel comfortable with him playing this year on the franchise tag, they wouldn't have franchised him to begin with, type of thing. So it took a little bit of time. It's still not completed yet. I think, obviously, the physical and medical side of things are coming into play on that. But I don't hate the move by any means. I think it's fair enough compensation. I think everybody would want to get possibly more out of it. But the market is what the market is, right? And that's the piece to the puzzle that, you know, we've talked about this. And I was in a discussion with somebody on Twitter on Friday night about this, that, look, your house is worth what other people are willing to pay for it, right? And mm-hmm. and this is the other factor to this. It's not just when you have a guy that's on a franchise tag that you're trading for, or even in the case of Tyreek Hill a couple years ago, you know, what the compensation you're going to get back is what somebody's willing to give you because they also have to pay that person, right, as a part of this. This deal isn't going to happen unless Legarius Sneed got a longer-term deal. You know, the Titans aren't going to trade for him just to have him play 1 year on the franchise tag, potentially, on things. So, is it fair compensation? I think it is fairly in line. I understand where people in Kansas City don't think that it was enough. There's some people, though, out in the national level that were like, the Chiefs got fleeced in this. They didn't get fleeced in this deal. I think it's a move in it that, you know, that I guess needed to happen. It didn't need to happen, but it's, you know, it's out there. It's at the point now where it needed to happen. And you asked me last week, I said I feel like it's going to get wrapped up in the next week or two. I didn't see this thing dragging out to right before the draft by any means.
I think the way you described it is perfect. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
Like, I think we all kind of feel like the Chiefs get put in positions sometimes they got to do some things that they don't really want to do, but it's the best decision for the team going forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's like, I'm disappointed in the haul, not because I think the Chiefs did anything wrong. I just am disappointed in the market. And the reason, like looking back, like the Tyreek Hill trade, now look, there were some Chiefs fans, some of my friends, that hated that deal.
Yeah.
I loved that deal. I didn't just think, oh, I don't hate it. I loved it because they got first round pick, second round pick, fourth round pick, fourth, sixth round picks in the next year's draft. They got all that, you know, for Tyreek Hill. The dude that just shut Tyreek Hill down in the playoffs returned a next year's third, basically in a swap of picks in the seventh round.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy that there's that wide of a range in market for the guy that is the big explosive receiver and the guy that shut him down.
Well, it's interesting, too, when you talk about that, how the market fluctuates from year to year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Too, because
yep.
We
could depend on which teams are interested, you know?
Several weeks ago when this first happened, we talked, and you brought this up, Detroit being a possible landing place, right? A really solid spot for L'Jarius Sneed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were Detroit, you looked at it, and Detroit looked at it and said, we're going to have to give up a lot of draft compensation, plus we're going to have to give him a new contract. And so what did they do? They went out and traded
Carlton Davis.
For Carlton Davis from Tampa Bay. You look at the free agency market this year and what the guards we're getting, right? Not just one, you know, type of thing. Five of them, four or five of them all got huge, huge deals. Now, the salary cap's going up. There's a lot of factors involved with that. But the market's starting to fluctuate a little bit, and it does from a yearly basis. We've seen this with the running back market. You know, a couple years ago, you can never have too many corners, right? You can never have too many good corners with the passing games the way they are. The Chiefs are... This is a part on the national level I don't think people understand is that the Chiefs are really young at their corner position,
mm-hmm.
and they are deeper than people think.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. L'Jarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie have gotten all the pub, and rightfully so, okay, over the last year. But they got some really good young guys that they invested in 2 years ago in the draft, threw numbers at it, and they feel comfortable with that. That's the other piece of this. If you, because I'm seeing... I've seen some things over the last couple of days, too, where, you know, Xavien Howard's out there, right? There's some other corners still out there right now that are, you know, pundits are putting out as best fit for the Chiefs, right? They're not looking at the actual depth that's on this roster. It's the same way that because we sit here in Kansas City and we're fans of this team and we look at them every single day on things, we tend to value our players more than maybe what other people do, too, because we see that, you know. We see their contributions on a daily basis on things. And so it's easy to kind of get a little bit jaded on not wanting this L'Jarius Sneed deal to happen because, you know, I've seen people that are like, hey, they're comparing this to, you know, they could have kept him this year at $17 million. We'd still have him, you know, and they could get a comp pick for him, but that's going to be another year down the road. Like, the Chiefs need some extra salary cap space. I'm sure we'll talk about this in a few minutes. I've been saying this for the last 6 months. You have several guys coming up after their third year here that are now eligible for extensions, potentially. You can't pay them all. And I think that, you know, in the L'Jarius Sneed situation, he's obviously one of the best corners in football, but he's had some injury issues, you know, over the last couple of years. That factors into all this. So, again, I don't hate the move. I think it's a good move. I think the compensation's fair. Based on where the market is, and you know, if again, it has to get completed here. with the medicals and all that kind of stuff, but that's kind of where I lie with it.
The man, I mean, just look at the trade that you mentioned, Carlton Davis, right? Tampa sent Davis a 2024 sixth round pick and a 2025 sixth round pick to Detroit for a third round pick in 2024.
Yep.
So, I mean, look, part of this whole deal, and it was always part of it, was not only having to trade for him, but you had to sign him to a gigantic deal.
Yep.
And it ended up being $55 million guaranteed, and not every team was comfortable doing that.
Which is more, if those numbers are actually guaranteed at $55 million, that's more than Jair Alexander got from Green Bay. I think his was like $30 million guaranteed. So this is a good deal for Snead. And I'm happy for LeJarius Snead, too, to go get paid. Most guys, and you guys all know this, but, you know, I hear this talk all the time. Why aren't more free agents wanting to come to Kansas City to possibly play for a ring? Because you can only get paid, usually, really, truly get paid one time. You got one shot a lot of times. Unless you're a first-round guy, you have one shot a lot of times to hit free agency and truly get paid.
At most positions.
Because
at a position like corner, one of the reasons that probably we talk about his market value wasn't higher than it was is because corners age more quickly.
Yes.
Because if you lose a half a step against Justin Jefferson, Justin Jefferson's now wide open by NFL standards.
Yes.
And this is his shot.
This is a shot, and I'm happy for it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I love him as a player, man. He's the physicality that he brings to the table. It gets him in trouble a little bit, over-aggressiveness. But when I say in trouble, like with some over-aggressive penalties and things.
But you live with that.
Okay? You have to live with that anyway at that position. And brings an attitude to it. And I think, you know, we'd all love to have him here long term, but that's just not in the cards. It's not how it works. And I'm extremely happy that he's going to go out and get, you know, $50 million guaranteed.
Well, and the odds are the Chiefs got his best years.
They got everything out of him.
For dirt cheap.
Yeah, and that's a cruel way to say that in business, but that's the way it is.
And I'm glad he's getting paid
based
off of it, but somebody else is going to pay for all the great years he had. And hopefully I hope for him he still has a couple, three good
years.
But the Chiefs, I mean, it's hard to imagine he's going to be any better than he was last year.
Right.
And they got that year for nothing.
Yep.
And then they turned around. And they got some draft picks back for him. Pretty darn good business considering where he was when they drafted him as a fourth-round pick, and none of us really even sure who he was.
It is. You know? And we talked about this last week, too, where you have a guy like him who, you know, obviously the Chiefs were comfortable with the franchise tag, potentially bringing him back on that, right? They could rescind it, but in all theory, you look at it and say, hey, we're doing this. We're open to trading him. But at the same time, we're comfortable with him bringing him back for 1 year at $17 million. And I said this too, like, hey, maybe LeJarius Snead bets on himself, right? He goes out and has another great year at $17 million. He probably goes and gets paid next year, but he's also a year older.
Yep.
Right? Like,
yep.
It may not be, you know, it may be 25 guaranteed next year for him if this doesn't happen. So he's got to go do what he needs to do as well.
All right, let's talk shopping list now. They added $19.8 million into the cap so they can. They can go shopping if they choose. I'll throw out some ideas about how to spend the money. You tell me if you're on board or not, if you like it or no. All right?
Okay.
Here's one of the obvious ones. Bring back Mike Dana.
Yes.
Nate.
Yeah, I love him.
Jake.
Absolutely.
Okay. I think, absolutely. I'll just say this. I think that's in the cards already.
Okay?
Because he's not going to break the bank, right? He wasn't going to be in the first wave of free agents on that side of things. I think you're going to get him on a very respectable deal. And maybe it's even a one-year deal, but maybe it's a two-year deal with about $10 million guaranteed for him type of thing, right, with some incentives. He's one of those guys that I just talked about us overvaluing our own players on things here in Kansas City, but if you truly watch the film and watch him play, he is a key cog to this defense.
You know him. You trust him.
He plays
great
the
locker room
well.
Guy.
He's still young. has flown under the radar the last couple years because of opportunity in a lot of ways. And he's a solid guy that you can trust, right? And they trust him. So I think, you know, the first wave of free agency went. He hasn't signed anywhere else. I think he wants – I mean, you're going to test the market. You're going to test the market if you're him. But I think that's already in the works to bring him back.
And also, and I know you were going to make this point, most importantly, even after a Chiefs loss – in the locker room after the game,
guys,
he'll always talk to me for three or four minutes so I don't go home empty-handed and pissed off. It's important. Hey, Mike, can I talk to you real quick? Yeah, come on over. Mike, no one else will speak with me. Would you please just talk for 3 minutes so I can go home?
Yeah, I think he's a solid...
Every game.
He's a guy I want back.
Stand-up guy.
And look, nobody cares about that, but I sure do.
Yeah.
When I'm bouncing around like Lebo, no one will speak to me. They're all mad about how that game ended. There's old Mike Dana and Justin Reed. All willing to talk for a while.
Hey, it helps his Hall of Fame status one day because he's not,
right.
He's not a meanie.
Well, he'll get a vote from me, from Mike Dana.
That's right.
Wow, that's weird.
No,
Mike Denny keeps getting a Hall of Fame vote. Where's it coming from?
I think it's great. He's a guy that I definitely want back. So that's a resounding yes if you haven't figured
right.
it out already for me.
Okay. Give you some options here. Bring back Donovan Smith or take a chance on Mekhi Becton.
No.
Or, whoa. Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's on Mekhi Becton.
Or take a gigantic flyer on David Bakhtiari.
No, on that either. I think their options are this.
Explain the no on Becton. You were so quick to.
He's not that good. It's just too much.
Right.
It's just
well,
too much.
Simply put, that's enough.
Yeah, a high pick that hasn't really, you know, done. You know, this year they thought he was going to take a step forward. He's been wildly inconsistent. Okay, and for a large guy.
But the question I have is, what is Brett Veach like? Brett Veach likes former premium picks, high draft picks that are still young, that another team has given up on, that has all the physical traits, and he thinks that maybe you can get him in here and get the most out of him.
Yeah,
because I will say this. How old do you think he is?
What is he, 25?
24.
Yeah.
You know? 6'7", 360. I mean,
I say,
you know.
Well, let's put it this way, okay?
I'm just talking about like a flyer.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I probably should clarify this a little bit.
He was the 11th overall pick in 2020.
It's about what the contract looks like, right? Like, there's a lot of different things here we're probably going to go through scenario wise.
I don't think it'll look like much.
Yeah, and where I go with this is if they brought Donovan Smith back, they would be fine with him there, okay? That would be another year stopgap on things, right? Maybe Mekhi Becton is that guy as well, type of thing.
Bakhtiari's working with his personal trainer, says he ain't done.
Yeah, but he's kind of like Mike Williams on the receiver side. I'm worried about him getting hurt when he like walks
right.
off the plane.
That's a whole other story. It's windy. But, you know, they'll be incentive laden. There's no perfect answer here.
I think he's a great left tackle. He has been a great left tackle.
Like, if those three...
If those three are all equal, I bring... Smith back for a year.
Nate Katie, the tremendous upside of Becton, the flyer on the multi-all-pro Bakhtiari who refuses to stay healthy, or Donovan Smith from last year.
Yeah, like whatever you can get the best bargain for, I like, because what I would like for the Chiefs to do
Man,
is...
Man, will you pick one of them?
Just hang on a second.
Golly.
I would like for them to take the best deal they can get out of those three and then trade up and draft their tackle for the future.
Okay, fine.
That's what I want them to do. I would like for them to address left tackle in the draft if they think there's players, enough players, there's supposedly good depth at
why
position.
Take, that why not you take topics we're going to discuss here in a little
okay,
bit
all right.
that was
and
not
just
an option.
Choke the life out of them?
Not
so
on the table.
We're getting to the draft.
Okay, all right. But that informs your decision-making here because then I want some competition. I'm more willing to take a flyer on a guy.
B or C?
I'll take Becton.
All three of those guys are flyers. All three of those guys are...
I'll take the upside of Becton, and because I know I'm drafting somebody... They have a little competition there.
Does anyone believe Wanye Morris is the left tackle of the future?
I think he'll compete.
Yes. I don't necessarily know that he's the left tackle of the future. I think there's potential there. Where I go with this comes back to the whole the Becton situation. Like, for me, Bakhtiari's out, okay? I'll listen to the Becton piece based on his age, right? Mm-hmm. Based on what the contract looks like, the competition there. I don't think we've seen enough from Juan A. Morris yet. You know, when he first came in, he played pretty well or adequately over there. Then he struggled a little bit. Part of that's just some playing time against the best competition on things. Now, that doesn't mean I'm handing him the left tackle position going into this year or I'm not sold on him yet, but I don't think you can count on him right now and project him to be your starting left tackle. That makes
Jake,
sense.
Which of the three would you take a flyer on? Not really a flyer. I mean, you know what Donovan Smith is, but of the three.
I mean, Smith's the safest one, but I don't know. Mark's not going to like this, but I might take a flyer on Bakhtiari. I think that's probably where I lean.
Okay.
The only thing that's... If he had been healthy at all the last few years...
He wouldn't be a free agent right now.
Yeah,
right,
you're yeah, right. He wouldn't be a free agent, but I'd be on him, yes. But I'm looking at all
He's the best
things.
Player, yeah. But he's never healthy.
Right.
Becton still is 24 years old and has upside if you think Andy Hack can get his hands on him and turn him into something. And then Donovan Smith is the devil that you know.
Right.
I'm sorry for calling him a devil.
No, he's the known quantity.
It's a metaphor.
Right. Thank you. Yeah.
I don't know. I'd bring in Bakhtiari and let him and Wanya Morris. I mean, you feel good as Morris is a backup, right? He's a solid backup. He's proven that last season.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a couple of ways to spend the money. Wide receiver. Josh Reynolds. The Chiefs have attempted to sign him before, and he chose another team. Not a guy that would break the bank. There are some reports out there that he could command $6 million a year, whatever.
Yeah, that's not happening. No,
that's over. Josh Reynolds. Would you be interested?
Maybe. For the price.
Anyone?
Eh.
If it doesn't move the needle, though...
Doesn't move my needle.
Yeah, it doesn't move the needle enough for me. But
I mean, I'd take him over some of the guys that are already on the roster.
Okay.
I mean, I'd take him over Kadarius Toney or
Odell Beckham Jr.
He's in talks with Miami right now.
Well, he could be in talks with Mark Borgers. What did he do? What was that?
No, that's a hard no. Oh. Odell.
Yeah, yeah.
That's me getting up and walking out.
Odell
saying,
Beckham Jr.
No.
Just imagine who he'd invite to the suites. We'd really have a party. Nate?
Odell Beckham Jr.
I don't know why I keep saying it like that.
Hard pass.
Okay.
Yeah. I go door number two on him.
Tyler Boyd.
Yes.
For the right price, yeah.
Yeah.
See, I think he can still get some money.
Yeah. He's in that MVS type of mold in terms of body, speed guy down the field, you know, can clear everything out.
Tyler Boyd, Nate Bucchetti. If you don't like him, you don't have to.
I think he'll be too expensive.
Oh, that's fine.
We're in that spot now in free agency, right, that it all depends on what the agreement looks like.
Yeah, like Veach has.
I say a hard no on Odell, and we all know this isn't going to happen, okay? But if you brought Odell in here for 2.5 a year with a lot of not likely to be earned incentives.
Odell Beckham Jr.
I'm not talking a weekly roster bonus piece. I'm talking, you know, 1,000, you know, all these types of things. And it was at $2 million, I would listen to that. But at this point, for me, like with Odell, it's the name side of things, right? It's the fantasy football people out there looking at all that.
All right, let's give Nate his flowers. DJ Chark. This is who Nate is targets at the beginning of free agency.
I think they can get him for a good number.
I want them to sign him just for Nate.
Yeah. I like the DJ Chark side of things.
Jake too. Will say again, no just because Nate's
no
been
way
on
he's
him.
On board with it.
Yeah, there's zero chance I want him.
There's
now.
Not what now
got
what
the Nate taint.
Oh, wow. What's that?
We're getting
what?
The Nate what?
Who else you got?
Right? I want him now.
He's tainted.
Just because of this.
Right.
And then every week there'd be an argument about what he did or didn't do.
Two targets for your boy.
And I would moderate. Oh, yeah.
How's that going?
Every week there'd be a reading of his stats by me and reaction by you.
30% of the snaps, huh?
Or if he has a day where he catches two touchdowns, he'll come in here, come strutting in here.
I'll be firing texts out during the game.
I mean, that's
why I want it.
Quality content.
Selfishly for me.
Quality content.
Great for the show.
The snap counts for DJ Chark.
Right. Everything. Six.
JK, stay healthy.
Let's go back to the snap counts.
Meanwhile, if he catches one touchdown, I'm
yeah.
Chark attack!
Told you guys.
Nate's already working with Charlie Hustle to get those t-shirts printed up right now.
Those would be good t-shirts. That's the truth.
Make it happen, folks.
What about Hunter Renfro? Getting him yet?
I want Hunter Renfro.
I do, too.
I want every Hunter Renfro
to be
in Kansas City.
Corner of the market on Hunter Renfro.
I will tell you this. For everybody out there that wanted Hollywood Brown because he had a 1,000-yard receiving season, you should want Hunter Renfro here.
Dude, I just feel like he knows how to run routes.
Ball.
I just feel like he'd be one of those guys that would pick up Big Red's offense.
Yeah.
You know, right away. I feel like he could be.
I know he had an injury, but towards ACL 2 years ago, I think it was. And then this year, never, like, they just didn't play him.
For all the dad bods out there, love to see this guy.
Okay.
I'd like that, especially I think you can get him for
$3
million a year type of thing with some, like, those are the types. Those are the types of veteran receivers. That's why I say bring up the Hollywood Brown piece, right? Like, everybody was out there, he's a 1,000-yard receiver in Baltimore. Like, Hunter Renfro is a 1,000-yard receiver in Vegas.
I know that I push Missouri players on everyone in the first couple of rounds of the Chiefs
Luther
draft.
Luther Burden is not in the draft.
Right, but boy, would I love to get him. But let me tell you who I'm officially set. I let this bounce around who I want the Chiefs to draft in the first round. A drum roll or something? A fanfare? I mean, this is who I want. And I'm not going to change. I thought about it, and this would make me the happiest because I think this would spell doom for the rest of the NFL. Ladd McConkey out of Georgia, wide receiver.
Yeah. I like him.
Oh, ho, 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 ho.
I like that kid out of Florida, too.
That's fine, but I want Ladd McConkey. I did a deep dive and just watching, and I knowledge of him being at Georgia. I just think in this offense, that would be hell on wheels.
There's a
and,
lot
and
of...
no relation to Phil McConkey, right?
No,
like, no.
I don't think so.
Wild.
I mean, on wheels.
I would love Phil McConkey's cocky ass. Brad McConkey was that way. The way Phil McConkey
was. Oh, he's cocky. I mean, Tibby, and he's good.
With the swagger that just, Phil McConkey has.
Go watch some film of him in Georgia.
Awesome. The routes are awesome.
And just watch the routes that he runs and just allow yourself to daydream about that on third down with the Chiefs and just ripping the opposition's heart out. Over and over and over and over.
He's a fancy lad.
Nate was talking about trading up for a tackle. You were talking about trading up for a tackle.
Yep.
On things. This is a deep wide receiver draft also, right, type of thing. And so it's not out of the question, Stephen, that Ladd McConkey could be sitting there at 28, 32, somewhere in there on things. Because there's a couple of receivers right at the top. Adunze out of Washington, obviously Marvin Harrison Jr., the other kid out of Washington. There's a good group of wide receivers in the top five, but then there's also a lot of depth there as well. I would be on board with that.
Yes. And there's at least a good amount of people, like you saw how deep this draft is, they're saying he is the best route runner in the whole draft. And it's just like,
yeah.
Come here. Come over here. Nate, are you looking at video?
I am.
Right?
It's just...
You can get caught up in it like,
That is something that...
Hello there.
I do think that this wide receiver group still really needs, you know, just a guy that is just a great route runner.
In free agency, we're talking, they still have room, the ability now, right, to add another veteran guy that we just talked about, like a Hunter Renfro or even a DJ Chark or somebody else at the right price. But you can go get another young guy that you can pair with Rashee Rice over the next 4 years, 3 or 4 years.
Because I do feel like Rice obviously came a long way as a route runner through the course this year. Yeah. But it's still just, and you correct
He's
me
still
if I'm
got
wrong.
A ways to go.
It
as
seems
a
like
guy.
Most of the stuff that he does is still kind of scheme stuff. Get the ball in his hands and then let his power and athleticism take over.
But that's also one of the better things that he does. And I've said this from the get go. When he catches the football, he gets upfield right away.
Yeah.
And it can be 10 yards down the field. He turns it into 20. Right. Yeah. Like. I think you got to find another guy to pair with him that's young, though.
Maybe the defense takes a step back, but I want you to think about Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Travis Kelce, Ladd McConkey all out there just running around. Good God. I'm sorry. It's too much. Stop! Okay. Take a break. Back into this. Back into this on WHB. Okay, some other questions for you.
Okay.
Legarius Sneed gone. Do the Chiefs need to address him leaving by adding a veteran free agent or taking a corner in the first three rounds, or do you have enough with Williams and Watson and the returning Nazee Johnson and Nick Jones, who was a seventh-round pick, and Shamari Connor playing slot corner? Do you have enough in-house, or would you like to see them add a guy like, say, Xavien Howard?
No,
you don't want him.
It's not that I don't want him. He's gonna demand too much money for me.
Still, you think?
Yeah.
Stephon Gilmore.
He's in the Odell Beckham.
Stephon Gilmore. Levi Wallace.
I don't know.
Rock Yassin.
Micah Hyde.
Steven Nelson.
There's some guys there that you know obviously could help your team.
Patrick Peterson.
Akello Witherspoon.
Depth wise, but I don't.
Steven Nelson.
Mm-hmm. I already said that. He was going to be an intern on this show until he left.
He's a meditator.
Yeah. Well, he talked to me about it, and then he's gone, so no more.
Bring him back.
So you have that choice?
Yeah.
Or if spending a first-round pick on a guy like Ennis Rake Straw Jr.
Our first-round picks we got.
I would love that.
Here's the thing.
Steve is staring off wistfully in the distance.
I don't think he'll be there.
What about?
I think that the Chiefs.
I'll be here.
Can gain some. They don't have a ton of draft picks overall, right? Type of thing. But I think that if the best player available to you happens to be a corner and he's there for you and that's who you want to take, so in your world, Stephen Ladd McConkey's gone. Okay, off the board.
Well, my world sucks then.
Then there's some other, you know. Some options to you. Here's the beauty of I think where the Chiefs are at. They obviously have some needs, like every team does. But you've developed a really really good roster for the most part, top to bottom. That you don't have a ton of quote glaring needs.
Oh, I just clicked on a mock draft ESPN. That's all done by Mike Tannenbaum. So I just X'd out of it. So I'm not gonna look at that one.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll look for another one. Go ahead.
So I think that you know I would look for them to add another veteran guy in the secondary. At the right price.
Steve Nelson.
I was trying
to deliver with a straight face.
Yeah, that might be more at the safety position because it lost Mike Edwards, right? You got Brian Cook coming back off injury. It's going to be him and Justin Reed back there. Obviously, they have depth in the secondary. We've talked about this, but.
They've got Bush.
They do. They brought him back.
Yeah.
It's just. You know, it's not a high need and a priority for me right now there that you need to go get a Stephon Gilmore or one of those, or one of those, Jesus, keep talking about somebody else. I mean, Stephon Gilmore.
Let's see.
Did you see enough from the kid from Virginia Tech? My mind sucks right now.
Brandon Flowers?
We've got Bush.
And then don't nobody.
I'm looking.
No, don't look. Use your brain.
Come on,
this is a good brain exercise.
Work through it.
I can't remember his name.
You can do it. I bet you can. Talk about him.
Came in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, play. Wouldn't he like? Did he lead the team at tackles in one of the playoff games?
Did he?
I think he did.
I don't know.
Such a-holes.
No, we're not. Have I mentioned him already?
Yeah.
Did I mention he plays a lot of slot corner?
Yeah. I think so.
They love him? Did they move up and draft him in the fourth round? No? Who are you talking about?
Well, I don't know if I'm talking about the right person.
You should be. He's from Virginia Tech.
Yeah. I mean, like, so how confident are we in him is what I'm saying.
I think they're very confident in him. Okay, who was the young boy in Terminator?
Are you going to ask me that?
I don't know.
Zero help to me whatsoever.
Who's the
his first name kind of is like a little bit of Could be a food.
What makes martial artists is in the new Roadhouse movie.
Like the biggest trash talker of all of UFC.
He's Connor. A fancy lad.
Okay. What'd you say?
Shamari Khan.
I was trying to figure out a way to put chimichurri in
there. Chimichurri.
You knew what I was going
exactly
at.
What you're saying.
I marinated some steak with some shamari sauce.
It's funny because
I get chimichurri.
I was trying to get you to say John Connor or...
Oh, man.
We're so stupid.
A little shamari sauce on there. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
Then he started, he goes, Virginia Tech, and I started describing, he goes... I don't know. Maybe if that's, I'm not. I don't know if that's guy. A guy. Or, no, that's exactly what you're talking about.
You're,
I don't think so.
You knew.
Way to go, Nate.
What a bunch of dumbasses.
Dude, I'm the worst. I can't like names. Are just I can tell you all about the person, you know, but I can't that's the word. Two black people come up to me.
You're not the
worst. Remember me? Nope. I remember you, but I don't remember your name. Mm-hmm. And now I'm an a-hole.
Nah.
I can tell you where we hung out. I can tell you what we talked about. Brian, Chris. Bobby,
hey you,
Shamari,
pal.
That's why you
friend.
That's why you never say nice to meet you. You always say good to see you.
Yeah. That's right.
Good to see you.
That's right.
I like that.
But you should also never go up to somebody and say, "Hey, remember me?" If you're not 100% sure that they remember you, otherwise you put that person in a terrible position.
Yeah,
that's my two cents.
Most people
on that.
Try to do, anyways.
You just go up and say, "Hey, you might not remember me, but we hung out one time. My name is."
That's too nice.
Slim Shady.
Hi.
My name is...
Okay, I'm looking at The Athletic in their latest mock draft. They have Mizzou defensive end or defensive tackle Darius Robinson going number 27, Arizona. Then... They have going number 32, Chiefs. Offensive lineman from Arizona, Jordan Morgan. And then number 33 going to Carolina, Ladd McConkey. You son of a...
You're going to be mad if they pass on him,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, well, sure I will.
I think if he falls there, they're not... I can't...
But what about if it's to protect Patrick
let
Mahomes?
Let me ask you this, because there's a chance all three guys could be there, okay? So they talk about this All-Pac-12 three-year starter, left tackle, okay. Let's say they're at 32, and a left tackle of your choosing is there. We'll say Jordan Morgan, because they have him going here. Left tackle. Or wide receiver Ladd McConkey. Or, because I've seen this guy fall a couple of times, and he's here for them in this draft. Alabama corner Kool-Aid McKinstry. And first of all, we'd have a guy named Kool-Aid.
I mean, that's
here.
The
that's
thing.
A lot.
That's
a lot for us.
We're drinking the Kool-Aid.
But
like Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid was invented in Hastings, Nebraska.
So the point is, a left tackle, a wide receiver, and a stud corner in this mock draft are all there. What would you want the Chiefs to take? Let's just assume the team is as is right now. Because I think those are all three reasonable choices.
I would go for a tackle.
Okay.
Because I think the Chiefs have shown that you can get really good wide receivers in the second and third round. I know that not every guy that they've taken. Rashee Rice is good, is he not? I know they've also had Sky Moore.
What are you yelling at him
for? You know, because I looked at him
he
like,
looked at me like I just said the dumbest thing ever.
They've shown you can and they've shown you can't.
Right.
True.
But they showed you can.
Right.
I just think the likelihood of getting a productive wide receiver in the second or third round is higher than getting a good starting caliber tackle.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's harder to find a good starting caliber tackle later in the draft. I don't have science to back that up. I don't have the research. That's my perception.
Do you have the science to back that up?
I'm happy to be disproven by somebody that, you know, has a spreadsheet. But
Curtis,
that's kind of
my science agrees, Nate.
And I do.
You're right.
It does agree?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, good. Because I do think, and I also do think the Chiefs already have Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Travis Kelce. I think if I can get a young tackle that can protect Patrick Mahomes on the cheap for the next 5 years, That makes the offseason so much easier every year going forward than it has been where they've just been finding a guy.
See, this would be wild because in this mock draft, he writes, trading Legarius Sneed pushes cornerback off the Chiefs' needs list. Alabama corner Kool-Aid McKinstry is sitting right there. Soar wide receivers Ladd McConkey and Xavier Worthy, who broke the 40 record at the combine. Though signing Hollywood Brown curtailed angst. Concerns of left tackle remain. Morgan, 3-year starter at the position, earned all Pac-12 honors in 2023 after an ACL tear cut his previous season short. Okay.
If you like, here's the thing.
If they're all there, who do you pick?
I don't know. I'm partial to wide receivers, yeah, but I'll just say that I haven't looked at the tackles enough yet to make a decision on that.
Let's just say he's a solid tackle. They like
him. If he's a solid tackle, I think you have to think about if you feel in that situation that tackle is higher rated to you on your board, okay, and you feel comfortable with him and you've got him rated as a first-round pick or a high second-round pick where you feel comfortable taking him at 32, then I think you take the tackle.
Jake?
Absolutely.
Tackle. I mean, you're drafting your third or fourth option at wide receiver.
For now.
But this guy will probably be your starting left tackle.
If you feel comfortable with him in that spot, for your value, then I think you do take a tackle.
And maybe not this year, though. Maybe you're bringing a veteran in, and he's competing. And he's not ready to start yet. I don't know if a rookie left tackle is ready to go out of.
Well, if you're a first rounder, you better be starting.
No,
day
one. No Kool-Aid.
No,
you won't drink the Kool-Aid.
I won't drink that. Stuff's poison.
Well, wow. I just hurt Mark Bowditcher's feelings. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. Kansas City, Jake Gutierrez has voted yes on another segment. So, Mark Bowditcher, you're still here.
Oh, all right.
Mark, what about banning the hip drop tackle? Should be easy to enforce.
Yeah. So, here's...
Completely black and white.
I will say this. I am all for making the game safer, okay, with player safety on things. I think, and a lot of former players, and I think even current players will tell you that to an extent. The video that the NFL showed everybody yesterday, I think it was, right? Yeah, on this, like Justin Reed was featured in one of those in the video. When a guy's going laterally, when I say laterally, on the field and running that way, and he has to reach out to tackle the guy, your momentum, let's back up for a second. The problem I have with this is, The tackle that should be banned on the hip drop piece is like, and I'm this is going to sound homerish, but when Mahomes got hurt in the playoffs 2 years ago, the defender grabbed him up high, then lowered his weight trying to pull him backwards, right, and landed on his ankle. That's what they're trying to get rid of. The tackle that happened to Mark Andrews a couple years ago, kind of the same thing. The language that I have a problem with it is when they keep talking about swiveling, right, and rotating and swinging around. The natural momentum of your body when you're running as fast as that is and trying to tackle that guy is going to happen that way. And I think, again, I'm all for making the game safer, but it's not that this isn't going to work. It's just that it's going to be inconsistently officiated.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be a disaster.
And we're going to run into situations from the player side of things where a running back from a year ago lowers his head and gets a fine even, you know, for lowering his shoulders and his head is above in front of his shoulders for different things. I just think it's going to be way too hard. And we already make it hard enough for defenders as it is.
You just wait till the Chiefs win a playoff game because of it. Then everyone will get really pissed off.
Or lose one.
No, win.
I'm just saying.
You get all the calls. Win.
Not trying to be negative. I'm
we're the villains.
Saying
win.
Everything in officiating is a judgment call anyway, right, on things, right? It's in my judgment that I saw you hook the guy underneath the hoop on the rebound, right? I thought you got there early before the ball did on a pass interference. The roughing the passer side of things. I just think when they talk about swiveling your hips, and the reason I bring this up, too, is, like, back in 2010 through 2015, USA Football and the NFL put a big emphasis on concussions, right? We all know that. Mm-hmm. And new tackling techniques. So back in the day, when I was in high school in the 90s in college, everything tackling-wise, you got to get your head in front, right, on an angle. Got to get your head in front. Now it's the head behind on the back hip. Well, they're teaching rugby-style tackles. Part of these videos, when you watch it, is a guy wrapping a guy around the waist and spinning him because that's the rugby style of tackle. Everything they've been teaching these guys over the last 10 years is part of what they're trying to ban, right, are the examples that you're using with this. The hip drop tackle thing is more when you get a guy up higher above his waist and you have him wrapped up and you're pulling him backwards and or just dropping your hips straight down to get him down. I just think it's going to be really hard for them to officiate it. And I get what they're trying to do with it, but some of the examples to me go a little bit extreme because you're dealing with 250-pound linebackers and guys that are running 4-3 and in a violent game that we all sign up to play, and you don't want to see injuries happen. And there are some of those tackles that are definitely more of a hip drop type of piece, but when you see a guy or a safety going from the middle of the field to the sideline to tackle a guy and his momentum's going one way and the guy running the ball is going, the ball carrier's going on an angle and you go to make that tackle and all of a sudden my hips swivel around because of the momentum of me hitting him with my shoulder pad and stopping, and all of a sudden I'm not even trying to drop my hips, I just swivel because it's the momentum happens and I get a 15-yard flag. That to me is going to be where the issue is.
You know, it's the pendulum swings too far in directions, you know, from one side to the other sometimes, and maybe this is a case of it swinging too far the other direction. I do feel like the first few years of the targeting penalties, like I would get really, really upset watching games because, in like, you know, hitting a defenseless receiver, they'd give a guy a 15-yard penalty. I'm like, well, anybody trying to catch a ball is defenseless, you know? I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
But that was always the way we had learned the game. And now that it's changed, you understand the way guys are supposed to hit. We've kind of come around and got our heads to it. Maybe we'll get our heads around this one, but it kind of feels like it's swinging too far the other way. At some point, you got to be able to tackle the guy somehow.
This is the part I have with the defensive player. If you're talking about a safety coming in, you're right. You're now, you've got so many factors already. I can start right now. If you're catching the ball, and I got to, I'm going in my target area and your
strike
gut area,
zone,
but all of a sudden you lower and we end up gliding. I'm getting hosed out of that. You know, type of thing.
Yep.
Now their strike zone's even lower. It's again, I think they'll adjust to it as things go on because there are some that are legit hip drop tackle. You know what I mean? There are some. I just think we're going to see some overcorrection to it is probably where I'm going with it, and there's going to be a lot of people outraged.
That's Mark Boerichter. We'll be right back after this on WHB.